Hello, welcome to Amateur Tarot Pod, the only podcast where two non-mystical hosts use the power of tarot to answer your burning questions.
That sultry voice that you just heard was the voice of one Brian Dooley.
And that other voice you heard was the voice of reason. It just lives inside my head and I ignore it most of the time.
It's convenient that the voice in your head is able to record onto a mic and do a podcast with you.
Sometimes it makes me think that I may be going crazy.
What if, you know, this is the last week was our year-long episode. And now, what if this is your big reveal that the whole time there was never a co-host, there never was a Ben. This was a podcast you were doing on your own in two different voices.
That would be pretty scary because I've been introducing you to people and saying that I have a co-host and believing that I have a co-host.
You've done the con so well, you've conned yourself. The Prestige.
Fooled you again.
Never seen it.
I am not surprised.
Fooled ya.
Haha. You really haven't seen that movie?
No, I've never seen it. I know there's some sort of twist ending. I don't know what the twist is. No spoilers.
Oh, it's The Prestige.
Okay. Well, maybe one day I'll see it. Probably not.
You probably won't. It's tied into the ninth Harry Potter book.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, then I probably do have to see it just to know the lore. Just like I read Atlas Shrugged to figure out the backstory of the BioShock video game, and that was a regret.
You should not have done that.
Nope. That was time of my life I'll never get back.
What if this turns into a podcast where instead of referencing Harry Potter all the time, we end up referencing Ayn Rand all the time?
Because we did reference Ayn Rand last week, didn't we?
Yeah, because we had the fountain deck.
Yeah, what if this has just been, again, a one-year ploy to get you into some really deep libertarian economics?
Oh, man.
You, the listener.
And plus, you're my voice of reason, so yep. It's been me doing it to you, which means that I believe those things.
Yep. Brian's a closet libertarian.
Oh, man.
Free market capitalist Brian Dooley.
I'm really trying, like, everything that comes to my head to say, I want to not say it so that I don't alienate listeners.
Hey, well, you know what's funny? Looking into the future, I know that our question is going to relate to capitalism, which is going to be great.
Late-stage capitalism?
A great tie-in, yes.
Well, I hope it doesn't tie in too much to late-stage capitalism, because we're quite red here on this show.
Are we?
I don't know. I just like the idea of being, like, Soviet-era communist.
Well, welcome to the Economic Debate podcast. This is Ben Noble and Brian Dooley.
And Leon Trotsky. Okay.
All right. I was mulling over my zombie Trotsky impression, but I couldn't get it to come.
That's good, because that was, what, 9 months ago?
Yeah, I only have zombie Mozart.
That we had the zombies.
It would be, well, and Halloween just ended, so.
Yeah.
It's kind of too late for that.
It's over, Ben.
Now it's time for Christmas.
The corpse is cold.
Santa wears red a lot. Is he a communist? I guess so, because he just gives out free gifts.
He doesn't even give to each according to his need. He gives to each according to how rich their parents are.
Does that make him? What does that make him?
I don't know. Maybe Santa's a libertarian also.
Maybe. Huh.
Yeah, free market gift giving.
Well, with that said, let's jump into the question.
With that said, I hope everybody's depressed for the upcoming season.
We can't jump into the question because there's a lot of stuff we didn't get to.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of, we just got very sidetracked by Ayn Rand.
Yeah, Ayn Rand and Leon Trotsky and Santa.
Those would be three people to put on a podcast.
That would be a podcast. I'm sure people would listen to it.
See, ideas, I have them. Here's another idea that I have. It's that we're going to read tarot for somebody. They're going to ask us a question. Well, they have asked us a question in the past, and we're going to give them an answer to that question in the very near future. And we're going to do that by reading a spread, and that spread is going to have three cards. First card is going to speak to the past, the second card to the present or an immediate action, and the third card to the guaranteed 100% future outcome. And that's it.
Yeah, that sounds good. You talked about the 100% money back guarantee.
I did.
But when we read the question that was given to us in the past that we're going to answer in the near future,
yeah,
that will be the present.
Correct.
Yeah. Because this is kind of like a time travel movie.
A little bit.
Where?
In that you want to time travel through most of the episode.
Just to get to the answer to your question.
Just to get to the answer to your question.
Or possibly to get to the card of the week.
Maybe. What's that, Brian?
That's a card that we do every week that kind of gives the flavor of what your week is going to be like. And that's for everybody, not just our queerant. That's for anybody that's listening.
So if you want to time travel to about minute 24, you'll get that.
Provided we have 24 minutes worth of material for this episode.
I feel like we can push it.
Well, challenge accepted. Now we're going to have 24 minutes worth of filler.
What if it's just 24 minutes of dead air?
Some people might enjoy that more.
Maybe. I like the idea that we would say it's going to be 24 minutes of dead air and somebody would be like, haha, that's so funny. They're doing a joke.
But then we just do it.
We just did sit here for 24 minutes of dead air.
What a horrible car ride that would make.
Oh, my God. Then you'd have to talk to who you were in the car with.
No, we're not going to do that to you. We would never. Do that. Quick, Ben, let's jump into Queerin's Corner. All right, here we are. We're in Queerin's Corner.
We're here.
You like it?
And today's capitalist question comes from Lisa, who says, I've been thinking of buying a house. Should I keep renting or start looking at properties?
That's a pretty solid question. Gives some options. It's seems like she's a forward-thinking individual.
Yes, she's trying to become a real person.
So
with a house.
You think a real person owns property, huh?
Equity, mortgage. Those are all words I associate with real people. I rent, so I know that I'm not a real person. I'm just a voice of reason.
I thought you owned your home.
Nope, I rent it.
Oh, I bought a house once.
Oh, how'd that go?
It was in 2009, right before the bottom fell out of everything. Yeah, like right before, like days before.
Wow.
So we got our house and we had like all this money from the government because everybody was throwing money at people buying new homes. Yeah, then like 3 days after we bought our house, it was worth $60,000 less than we paid for it.
Hashtag Ayn Rand.
So, yeah, I guess I don't own it because my ex-wife owns it, which isn't like a, oh, my ex-wife joke. It's just that's
who happened. That's, owns it.
Yeah, that's where it went to. But I still feel like I own property. This is not an interesting side story.
Well, you're helping Lisa through her experience by way of your own experience.
Here's what I learned about owning a home is you have to mow your own lawn. Ugh. You have to shovel your own snow. Ugh. You have to fix the furnace if it breaks. Ugh. You have to go into this little under the stairs spider den when your water main breaks and floods the office, which is carpeted. Ugh. Yeah. But also, here's what I learned. You can get any type of credit that you want.
Oh.
And it makes you feel like a grown-up.
Oh.
And you can have any pets that you want.
Oh.
And
well, not any. Some neighborhoods have, like, laws.
Yeah, you can't have marmots.
Nope.
They're outlawed.
All right, well, should we give Lisa, now that we've given her the benefit of your own previous experience, should we give her the benefit of the mystical forces of the universe's experience?
I don't see why not.
All right.
Today we are going to answer Lisa's question with the Elemental Tarot. And Ben, do you want to talk a little bit about the Elemental Tarot?
I do. See, we're already well on our way to 24 minutes.
We're actually faster on the draw to the question than we have been in some time.
Well, I'm sure in describing the cards we'll get off track. So, Lisa, if you want to fast forward to minute 16, we'll begin answering your question. So, the Elemental Tarot deck, I guess I'm a little confused, because when you say Elemental Tarot deck, I want to think, like, this is going to be a very old-looking deck with a lot of symbology and some classic geometric art. What was that deck that we looked at before that kind of has that?
The Alchemical Tarot.
Alchemical Tarot deck. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of when I think of elemental. But no, this deck has a lot of what I would describe as, what's that comic book called? Help me.
Fables?
Nope. The one with Rorschach.
Watchmen.
That's it. Looks like art from Watchmen a little bit. There's a lot of weird androgynous naked men on it. Salamanders, fairies, a dolphin in the sky.
Well, on the box, it says that the energies of the world are channeled through the four elements and interwoven in the dance of life. Water, air, fire, and earth reveal the possibilities of the future and the opportunities of the present.
Okay, well, what I would say that this person is a little bit confused, or maybe the person who wrote the box description did not consult the person who drew the card art, because if I look at the cards, the four elements are salamanders, fairies, fish, and blue fairies.
Well, fish are water and salamanders are fire. Right?
Yeah, but cups are blue fairies.
No, cups are water. So
no, but the fish are on the coin cards.
Okay. Now that, but the dolphin was swimming. A dolphin's not.
There was a dolphin on a cuff, on a cup card, and a dolphin is a fish.
Yeah.
No, it's a mammal.
No, it's not.
It's a mammal. Fact check. All right. So there's a lot of stuff going on in this deck, and.
But wait, I want to know what the fairies represent.
Swords.
So swords are.
Air.
Air.
So maybe fairies, but here's cups. Blue fairies.
And that's other fairies.
Other fairies that are different colors and sexier than the sword fairies. But swords also sometimes have... Oh, no, that's wands. Never mind. Oh, here's the four of wands, but the guy is holding a sword.
Of course. Of course he is. Yeah, makes total sense.
All right, let's get to Lisa's question.
All right, Lisa. Well, these cards may be harder to read because the imagery on them has nothing to do with the tarot, but or the elements.
Also, we should probably remind folks that Lisa's question is, I've been thinking about buying a house. Should I keep renting or start looking at properties? And let's flip over our first card.
All right.
Flip.
The Ace of Swords, or as we would believe it, the Ace of Red Fairies. This card has a red fairy floating above a feminine looking person who is having dreams of luggage and a crow and a cuckoo clock.
There's also a bird and...
I said a crow.
Oh. Did you say about the magic pavilion in the background?
That was the cuckoo clock that I thought.
Oh, no. I think it's like a dojo.
Okay. Well, it's either Bavarian or Japanese.
So, the Ace of Swords... What does it mean?
Like all aces, the Ace of Swords points to the beginning of some sort of journey.
Like buying a house.
And beginning the journey with a lot of power behind your intent. During this journey, it's going to be difficult to oppose you. The warning here is to use your power responsibly and to make sure you're using it for good and not simply for personal gain or even worse, to harm someone else.
It's like a double-edged sword. You know? One side for good. No, that's not really what it means. I guess it does mean that.
It just means that one side is... cuts your enemy and one side can cut yourself if you're not careful.
Yeah, so be careful. Swords are sharp. Don't go to the hospital.
And swords are a suit of the intellect.
Yep. And so this is an ace as well, which is about like starting something new. So this is starting a new project or a new venture with your mind at the forefront.
Yeah, maybe you have the solution to a problem has presented itself.
And... in this case, I feel like we're looking at, you know, this impetus that you have, maybe even the impetus that drove you to ask this question of, should I buy a house? And right now you, or in the recent past, you know, leading up to this moment, you've had that one sword, you're wielding it, you're thinking about leaving your rental place behind and buying a house, and you have a lot of passion and excitement and energy around that.
And based on this one card and the conversation we had earlier, I like the art on these, but I don't think that I could use these to read regularly.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
No. Instead of a sword with a snake wrapped around it and a crown at the top, it has a woman sleeping in a fairy. I don't know.
Don't buy a house that's haunted by fairies.
Or do. I mean, there's worse hauntings.
I suppose. So, our present card. Flip.
Oh, another sword. The Five of Swords.
And on this card, it looks like somebody's cut their hand, but the fairies are putting a Band-Aid on it, so it's okay.
Yeah, it's got somebody's hand, and there's five fairies on it. And these fairies have toothpicks or something, and they're carving the lines into the palm of this person's hand.
Hmm. Oh, it's not a Band-Aid, it's a wing. I get it. All right, so the Five of Swords is about winning, but maybe... also not winning. It's a situation that's more of a Pyrrhic victory, you know, like winning the battle and losing the war. or a situation where you've won, but you don't feel very good about the fact that you've won.
Yeah, because someone else's loss was really catastrophic for them, or maybe you didn't consider that your win meant that it would be someone else's loss.
So what you're looking at, you know, in the present moment is some sort of victory, but you have to take a longer term perspective of things. You have to kind of look at what does this moment mean for the future rather than what does this moment mean for right now.
Yeah. And looking at things where they're binary, either winning or losing, can be a recipe for disaster. Mm-hmm. So if you're able to moderate your expectations, you can find an outcome that's sustainable and balanced, and it'll help keep your well-being and protect those around you, as opposed to just being a right now quick victory.
Maybe I'm jumping the gun a little bit on sort of analyzing cards and the question and the present situation. We haven't even seen what the future is, but this is one of those things where I'm starting to think, you know, Lisa has asked about if she should buy a house or keep renting. And, you know, even in the question, you know, it's like, which one is going to be better? And this card is speaking to the fact that there's going to be good things and there's going to be bad things about either choice, probably. And, you know, just trying to figure out which one is the quote unquote winning situation is not a fruitful way to look at it.
But we're not going to leave you hanging. We'll have a strong recommendation either way after we flip this third card.
Flip.
Oh, okay. I guess we're flipping it now.
Well, did you want to not flip it yet?
No, it's already...
Unsee it. Close your eyes.
The proverbial cat is out of the fabled bag.
Meow.
There's that Foley work.
I know, you forgot. I haven't done a lot of Foley work other than the flips lately. You forgot about my Foley artistry.
I did.
But I've been practicing. I haven't lost it.
I was looking around for a cat in here.
Nope. That was me.
Shockingly, we have another sword card.
Three swords. Is there some sort of like, is this where ching, 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 ring, ring, ring?
If there were three aces of swords, then yes.
Oh, that seems unlikely.
It does seem unlikely, which is how the house gets you. The house always wins. But we have the six of swords this time. And the six of swords has a woman with, she looks like she's holding up stacks of books. There's a cat on one stack of books. And there are six fairies flying around this woman. Maybe they're helping hold up the books, or maybe they're knocking the books down. Maybe the cat's knocking the books down.
I don't know. The cat looks like a good cat. He looks like a good boy. Normally, in a normal deck with normal art that doesn't have fairies on it, the six of swords normally has a woman in a boat.
Yeah, like a woman and a child in a boat. And somebody pulling that boat across water.
Yeah. And that's because the Six of Swords is a card about transitions and movement and leaving one stage and starting another. But it's not always the most pleasant transition.
Yeah. Maybe you just got a lot of books and you're happy about that, but now they're falling all over the place.
And
maybe you moved into a house, but it's very small and you don't have a place to keep all your books.
Maybe you moved into a house, but the previous tenant left all of their books and you're like, what am I going to do with all these books?
Maybe you moved into a house, but the previous tenant left all their fairies and you're like, what the heck am I going to do with all these fairies?
They left their cat too.
Oh man. Well, at least you got that.
So the card is also about moving forward, but in moving forward, leaving something else behind. And if you are going to leave something behind, not to focus on it too much. That's the advice of the card.
Yeah. You're on this journey for better or for worse, and you may not be excited about the solution that's being undertaken, but it's happening and you're doing it. And so you need to resign yourself to it.
And because this is a sword, again, this whole reading has been swords, and that would indicate to us that you're going to have to be using your mind to kind of navigate through this transition period.
Well, let's tie this all together in a story.
Okay. And Once upon a time.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a fairy tale since we've got...
Get it?
Yeah, we have 12 fairies here amongst all the swords, which there are zero swords.
There are zero swords on these cards.
But 12 fairies. don't know. You take it away,
Brian. Okay, I'll take it away, Brian. So the story that I would tell Lisa with these cards is that she's come to us with her Ace of Swords. She's all fired up. She's got a lot of excitement about this idea of stopping renting, you know, leaving her apartment behind, finding something new. But there's danger in that because of this double-edged sword that she has. And so in the present moment, right now, she's, you know, looking at her pros and cons, thinking about how she's going to move forward, what she's going to do. And she's looking for the easy answer, you know, what's going to be better, what's going to be worse. But the truth is that there are aspects of either that are going to feel like wins and aspects of either that are going to feel like losses. And it's just a case of deciding, you know, which bundle of wins and losses that you want.
Right. Is it more important that you be able to have all the animals you could ever dream of, or that you never have to mow a lawn?
Exactly. And the Six of Swords, the guaranteed future outcome card, would say to me that you're going to move forward with this. You're going to buy a house, and it's going to be a challenge. There's going to be some things that you're going to have to leave behind, you know, like sitting inside while somebody else mows the lawn. That's not going to be a thing that you get to enjoy anymore, but that this is a transition that you're going to have to take to kind of a new state of being. And you're just going to have to kind of leave some of those things behind and look forward to the new things that you have, like fairies and cats and books.
Yeah. The benefits of owning a house.
Yeah.
Which Ben just named all three of those benefits.
Mm-hmm. Brian, you gave me a look like when I said she's going to do it. You were like, oh.
I didn't know that was the direction you were going to go. I would have read it differently.
Oh.
I would have read it that she's not going to buy, that she's going to continue renting and be slightly dissatisfied with the renting lifestyle. But keep going forward in that, knowing that she has the comfort of everything she's had the comfort of up to this point.
Well, Lisa, I think you can take whichever interpretation you would rather have. Oh, wait, Brian's giving me the International Sign Language symbol for, let's look at one more card.
Yep.
Which we'll do.
So we're going to flip over one more card.
Also, wait. I just picked up these cards and looked at the back of them. And the art on the back gives you a little bit of indication of the symbols. There's, well, the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence is the background. But on top of whichever national treasure document you choose, there is a salamander, which we've already talked about being fire, makes perfect sense. Red fairies for swords, blue fairies for cups, and dwarves for coins, which I guess makes sense.
A shirtless dwarf.
Yes, with a wizard hat on.
Yeah. All right. Well, now everything makes perfect sense. I still don't think we'll be using this deck very often. But what Ben's going to shuffle these up, and we're going to flip over one more card.
What if it's a sword?
I hope it is. Because I like when things are magical.
It is not.
Oh, okay. What is it?
It's the King of Pentacles.
The King of Coins.
The King of Coins.
Well, the King of Coins has his finances in order.
Yes, he does.
Knows how to take care of himself and all the people around him that depend on him.
Yep. He's very much a master in, you know, comfort, like material comfort, material wealth, physical, tangible things in the world.
And renting a house can be fairly inexpensive.
Yep.
But you don't ever own what you're paying into.
Exactly.
And depending on the home you own, you could get a fairly affordable home. And then you're in charge of it. Ben, I think you're right.
I was thinking that I was right, but then you started talking like I wasn't right. And I was like, we're going to have to flip over a fifth card.
No,
which you've never had to do.
I think you should buy a house.
All right. The King of Coins, the master of finances, the master of material wealth and comfort.
The master of your own credit.
Yep. All right, Lisa, it sounds like you need to buy a house. Welcome to adulthood.
Meow. Thank you, Lisa, for your question. I hope that that was helpful. We did give you a definite answer.
And an additional card.
Housewarming party.
Yeah.
Thanks for breaking that streak of swords.
Yeah, seriously.
Ben, should we go into the card of the week?
Well, we should, because we're actually at 28 minutes now.
Yeah, but who knows what it's going to be after I edit it down.
Good point.
We talk a lot of nonsense.
Do you just cut that out?
The nonsense?
Yeah.
Well, you listen to it every week.
Sure.
What do you think?
Great question, Brian, and I'll get back to you. All right, so our card of the week this week comes from what deck, Brian?
It's from the Branches of the Celtic Tarot.
The Branches of the Celtic Tarot?
Yes.
Which branch?
All the branches.
Oh, okay. All right, the Celtic Tarot cards. I'm supposed
to... The Branches of the Celtic
Tarot. The Branches of the Celtic Tarot. Well, the deck is a full bleed, full art deck, so that's good.
Usually one of my favorite aspects of a deck.
Yeah, but I'm not crazy about it. You know, I'm not crazy about a lot of these decks.
Ben only likes the Rider-Waite deck.
I don't know. I'm a classic guy in that way. But, okay, so this deck has much more traditional art than the Elemental Tarot deck. You know, it's a riff on the pictures that you would normally see in the Rider-Waite deck.
But they all have, like, an Irish, Scottish...
bend to them.
Yeah. Druidic.
Druidic. That is a great way to describe it. It's a bit Lord of the Rings.
I just ordered a Lord of the Rings deck.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it that should exists? Be coming this week.
Well, I can't wait for that.
There's also a Hobbit deck, but I didn't want to order both of them at the same time because I figured it'd be overkill.
Your Amazon search history would be interesting. All right, Brian, so let's get to the card of the week this week from the not Lord of the Rings, Lord of the Rings deck.
All right. Anytime you're ready.
Oh, yeah, I have to flip the card over. I forgot that you can't proceed unless I flip the card.
I can't lift these heavy things.
Flip.
Oh, no, Ben.
What's wrong?
It's the Nine of Swords.
Oh, good. More swords.
You want to describe that puppy?
Sure. It's a woman in bed, sitting up, tastefully covering her bare breasts with her arms as she puts her hands over her eyes. And there's nine swords above her head.
And nine roses.
Oh, yeah.
Strewn about her on the bedspread.
She's on the Bachelorette and can't decide who to choose.
And the book for the Branches of the Celtic Tarot says, for the Nine of Swords, the keywords are pain, mental breakdown, and anguish.
Love it.
So, sounds like it's going to be a good week, guys. Let's see.
If it's what you say it is, I love it.
The powerful image of this card is something that the majority of us can relate to. Have you ever felt pain and sorrow so torturous you cannot even find solace in the relative oblivion that sleep affords?
Sure.
The function of sleep allows us to return, with each daily turning of the earth, to the bosom of the universe, where we recharge the batteries and return refreshed to this world. At times, the mind can prevent the mechanism that allows us to switch off from activating. Consequently, we find ourselves ridden with anguish so great that it begins to consume our every waking minute, even those minutes when we should be at slumber.
Wow, this is a pretty deep book.
Mm-hmm. When situations and patterns of life external to us start to impinge on our thoughts, we can fall into ever-deepening patterns of disempowerment. Even when sleep does come, the Nine of Swords shows a person who is awoken and thrust into pain. There is no respite. The mind will wreak havoc. Nine sharp swords float in the air above a tortured soul, their points aimed at the individual as if ready to strike.
So it sounds like not going to be a great week.
Yeah, the happy ending is... nothing. That's the end of the description for this card.
Hey, there is a happy ending, Brian, and I'm going to give it to you right now.
Good.
Which is that, you know, it's in the mind. The stress, all this torture and horror, it's not physical pain. You know, this is mentally induced stuff.
Yeah, it's worry that you don't have to be worried about.
Yeah. So if there's any advice, it's that if you're feeling stressed this week, remember that your mind creates a lot of this stress, and that if you, not going to sleep, that's not going to solve the problem, obviously. But if you take a minute in your day, think through it, you know, something I do is, you know, I just make a list. Like I think about, like if I'm stressed about something, I'm like, I need to do A, then B, then C, and then it starts to feel more manageable.
Yeah. That works for a lot of people to be able to do something physical and get rid of some of that anxiety. But for people that have like an anxiety disorder, like I have to medicate
drugs
to get rid of those things. And lots of people do. And there's nothing the matter with that. And if you can't just get over it, then there's nothing the matter with you because of that. It's just the way that you're wired.
Well, that's this week in Bright and Happy Topics.
Yeah, make a list or take some drugs.
Whatever.
Maybe
legal.
You know, we
legally.
Have, yeah, medication.
Yes.
Your medication.
Not somebody else's.
The past, 3 weeks have been really positive in our cards of the week. So
yes.
We were due for a downer.
Yeah.
And we got it.
Not every week can be great.
No. Wait. We said the exact opposite of that last week. We said every week is a great week with the tarot.
Oh. Well, for us.
Yeah.
For you, every week can't be a great week. But for us, every week with the tarot is a great week.
And maybe this goes into Lisa's decision to start looking for a house. Maybe that's something that's keeping her up. If there's something that's keeping you up, write into us about it.
And why not?
Let us know what we can do to help. Maybe there's a question that's burning in your mind.
A+ transition. A+.
Yeah. I want to go ahead while we're here on this little bandstand and thank Lisa again for writing into us.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank all of you out there in listener land for giving us an ear.
Yep. Hopefully while you were doing one of the amateur tarot approved activities.
Which are?
Driving in your car.
Mowing the lawn.
Washing dishes.
Or walking your dog.
That's it.
And mowing your lawn is about to go off the list.
Well,
but Lisa, it's about to go on your list.
All right. And if you have some sort of burning question to ask us, you can do that at our website, amateurtarot.com. Our email address is in the top bar. Can't miss it. Copy paste that into your preferred email provider. Hopefully Gmail, though. It's 2017.
Yeah, you can also just click on it again because it's 2017 and it will open in your provider.
But when I do that on my Mac, it opens mail and I'm like, why are you opening mail?
Oh, just turn that stuff off.
I can do that?
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk after this.
You can call us at our new phone number.
What?
And leave a question on our voicemail. It's 314-325-6047.
Sometime I have to look at that number and figure out a word we can make out of it.
There's no words.
Nope.
Nope.
What about
Yes, that works. But there's a 1 and a 2 in it, or a 1 and a 0 in it. So.
Oh, a 0 can't, isn't it?
Yeah, and 1's nothing also.
Yeah, I was just going to say 314. Like, you can remember that on your own and come up with for the rest of it, but there is a 0 in there.
Yeah, provided that you're in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Then it's easy to remember.
All right. So that's the phone number. Call in, leave a voicemail.
314-325-6047.
If you don't do it in a wind tunnel, we'll put it on the show.
Yeah, totally will. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Tarot Amateur.
And Brian's on Twitter at Zen Iron Man.
And Ben's on Twitter at Making All This Up. And when you're at our website, you can also rate and review us on iTunes. It doesn't cost anything and it helps us out a lot.
And that's it. That's the show.
Yeah. Thanks to everybody who made this possible. Thanks to Tiny Little Monster for our t-shirts. Thanks to Sticker App for our new stickers.
Oh, and thanks to STL Live for hosting us on November 16th at
Thursday,
7 p.m.
November 16th. Free beer and free admission.
And a free show.
Jump on Facebook and find the event. It's Amateur Tarot Live at STL Stylehouse. And go ahead and RSVP for that. Say that you're going to be at the show so we can know how much beer to get.
And with that, we'll leave you with your anguish.
Bye. Ben, where is the deck of cards?
Well, the...
Oh, it's right over there by you.
Okay, I was gonna say.